Hey, Hare Krishna. This is Dhanadhar Swami. I have my email on, so in case no one can hear me, send me an email or something. I'm really not sure what verse we're up to, so I'm just going to start someplace, and then hopefully, even if it's something I covered, there may be something new. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 23, Text 9. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Iti te Bhagavat Yakyam Shrinvatopi Nishushravu Shudasa Purikarmano Balisha Buddhamanina. The Brahmins heard this supplication from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, yet they refused to pay heed. Indeed, they were full of petty desires and entangled in elaborate rituals. Though presuming themselves advanced in Vedic learning, they were actually inexperienced fools. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksuran Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupadamayam Dhanati Sapadantikam Vancha Kopa Tulubhyascha Kripashindu Bhayevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from Sridham Mayapur. It's Odaryo Dham. A very magnanimous place, a land of mercy where you get much more than you pay for. The results of your sadhana are much more than the effort that you put into it. And I have a sense of that here. And it's not a temple, Mayapur. It's a city. It's growing by leaps and bounds. There's buildings being constructed all over. A huge community of people. I can even see that by the amount of people in the temple room, which is practically already packed. They do need that huge new temple for 10,000 people, and even that won't be big enough, I think. And I can see my class. I give class every day, actually not in the weekend, in the Vaishnav Academy. And it's, you know, a room can hold quite a few. It's a nice seminar hall, but it's packed, and I expect more people to come there because it's not even by advertisement. Just people know me. They ask if I'm speaking. Today I had the fortune of having lunch with His Holiness Bhakti Vidyapurna Swami, which was really nice. And of course, he has an amazing project. He's not managing it, but certainly he's the inspiration and the visionary for it. A wonderful school. I mean, wow. See that? It was really nice. So this is what I was lecturing on in Vrindavan. Now I'm lecturing on Brihad Bhagavatamrita, but the wonderful story. You know, how do you attain Krishna? How do you attain the truth? And it's very clear that it's not by ritual. Of course, ritual has a very, very important purpose. I think we discussed that with Mahamuni. He gave, not sure, anyway, he gave a very nice definition that ritual is to conform yourself higher to conform yourself to something higher than yourself. Ritual means to move the body in a place that facilitates the consciousness moving in that direction. In other words, centering something else in one's existence as preeminent besides one's own ego. So, you know, just even the deity worship, how God's desire becomes the ruler of the house rather than one's own tongue, for example. You know, what is food? How do we relate to food? If we relate simply due to our desires and our tongue, it puts us in bodily consciousness. But if the consciousness is shifted to the pleasure of Krishna, then the same activity, the same so-called matter, becomes spiritualized. And the consciousness becomes spiritualized by taking Krishna prasadam. So ritual has a very important point, but there has to be some consciousness or understanding of its application. Otherwise, it will be misapplied or appropriated for the very thing that one is supposed to transcend, which is ego. The rituals, which are meant to humble you, feed your ego. And and that's why it's always dangerous. And that's one of the symptoms of Anishtha Bhakti. The symptom of Anishtha Bhakti, one of the symptoms, I think the sixth symptom is bhakti itself, in the sense that when one starts to advance in bhakti, one may get followers, prestige, money or whatever. And therefore, bhakti becomes related with increasing one's prestige rather than increasing one's humility. Appropriated by the ego. That's basically the function, not the real function of the ego, but the ahankara, bodily consciousness, looking at things and relating to things in terms of one's own aggrandizement, stimulation, rather than as one's needs, not as a goal in itself, but a relationship to helping you get the goal. So one of the greatest pitfalls is that people who are fortunate to be born in Brahmin families and have an opportunity to cultivate the mode of goodness and to learn the Shastra, become proud. Or become misled and begin to use their rituals for their petty desires rather than the purification of heart. And here in this particular story, this is exemplified because the cowherd boys are representing Krishna and carrying his will or service, which allows one to connect with God. So the cowherd boys begging from the Brahmins. But here, the Brahmins hear the supplication, but they don't hear because they're full of petty desires. So hearing here is very much connected to the consciousness. Basically, we hear what we want to hear. And I've seen that so much, even in people's conflicts. You hear things, your desires so much, and the stronger your attachments are, they so much dictate what you hear and what you don't hear. And what you hear is what supports your ego, and what you don't hear is what diminishes your ego. Even though both may be said, there's a question of selective hearing. 1 second. Somehow or other, it was a little cold. Now it's a little warm. I'm just going to take off my sweater. 1 second. So there's this kind of selective hearing that is insincere and not good for spiritual life based on our attachments. And even in argument, there's one type of argument that's called vada, where you're arguing to hear the truth rather than to support your attachments. So it's just so important. And therefore, the disciple who shows that they're not attached creates a conduit where they can hear truth. An attached disciple cannot hear truth, because the truth may oppose their attachments. And if you really clearly think about it, there's so much truth that opposes our attachments. And think about, can we be told the truth? Are we ready to say the Guru and Krishna, Sishash Sadi Mam Twam, Sishash Twadimam Twam Prapanam, I am a soul surrendered unto you, please instruct me. I am detached, please instruct me. That has to be expressed in a spiritual relationship. I want the truth. Tell me what the truth is. And tell me what the truth is about myself. And instruct me, even if it, because people will not hear. People will not hear truth if that truth means that their control and material enjoyment is diminished. So this surrender and detachment in relationship to a teacher and the expression of that is essential for realizing the absolute truth. And therefore, to understand absolute truth is not just the size of your intellect. It's the level of your desire for truth, no matter what it means in terms of one's life. To really open ourselves up to say, what you want, I will do. I'm searching for the will of the divine. When I find that will, I will serve that will. Even if that will does not cast a favorable glance on the attachments of my life. So people who are attached and approach the Vedas for attachment, even if for their attachments, even if they know so many verses and advanced in learning, they're actually here, it says, Vridhimaniya. I think they're childish or foolish. Because they don't understand the objective or goal of knowledge. Which is to understand the natural position of the self as a servant of God. And that's why intelligent men so-called intelligent men, I can see it, you know, when I'm teaching people, and I can see different levels of some scars, and I can see different levels of bhakti, sukriti, and piety, and different levels of piety in terms of the samskar in the heart to be submissive. Submissive in the sense that you're looking to guide your life by truth. So they just did not hear. They did not hear about service to Krishna. Because of the consequences of that truth in terms of our petty desires. Desha kala pratadravyam mantra tantra dijog maya devataya jamanascha kratur dharmascha yanmaya Tandrama paramam sakshad bhagavantam madoksajam manushya drishtya drishpravya martyamano name nare. I think we did these verses, but no harm if I go again, because somehow I'll be inspired in another way. So please forgive me if I forgot the verse number. Although the ingredients of sacrificial performance, the place, the time, the particular paraphernalia, mantras, rituals, priests, fire, demigods, performer, and the as yet unseen beneficial results are all simply aspects of his opulence, the Brahmin saw Lord Krishna as the ordinary human because of their perverted intelligence. They fail to recognize that he is the supreme absolute truth, the directly manifest personality of Godhead, whom the material senses cannot ordinarily perceive. Thus bewildered by their false identification with the mortal body, they did not show him proper respect. So this was their misunderstanding. You know, they're performing rituals with so many things, but they don't understand what those things are. Everything is part of Krishna. And therefore, everything is meant for his service. And of course, again, what does petty desires mean? Petty desires mean that you want objects not to serve. But to enjoy, and not just to enjoy, but as your goal in life, because you can enjoy for the purpose of keeping the mind and body together for the utilization of this life for self-realization, which is the purpose of life. So when you have that false objective and you're not blessed with spiritual knowledge, when you're not blessed with the bhakti lata bij, the conception and idea that sublimity rests in God and service to God, and that the soul is consciousness which achieves its fulfillment in love, not in control, and bravado and pride. So when you firmly have that consciousness, then you see things in relation. You see things for what they are. Again, how much does our conceptions and our attitudes affect our perception? Even Prabhupada once related sense gratification with Maya, because when one has that self-centered conception of life, and which can be the kind of an objective of supreme dominance, really, you can see how people are just not satisfied if someone is better than them. How so much envy is there, especially when peers, you know, exhibit some superiority to us. See how that material consciousness, how it's actually the root of us being here. Ichadvesha samutena dvandva mohena bharata. We're born into this. The dualities of delusion, desire, and hate. So we can see so clearly. Well, we should see so clearly how prominent those desires are. And we should understand even more clearly how they affect our perception. And how do they affect it? We begin to see Krishna's energy as not his. That's the illusion. Because we need to have a relationship with it of dominance and control for our objective of enjoyment and control. So anyway, this is called Dushpragya. It's perverted intelligence. Okay, 10:23-12. Nateya romiti prochur naneti cha parantapa gopanarasa pratyetya tatochu krishna ramayo. When the Brahmins fail to reply even with a simple yes or no, O chastiser, the enemy, Parikshit, the coward boys returned disappointed to Krishna and Ram and reported this to them. So they failed to reply with the word Om. Om, this is God, this is truth. So they didn't respond. They didn't respond. And then Maharaj Prickett is called chastiser of the enemies. Because as a devotee of Krishna, as a king who is responsible for upholding Dharma in his state, to see that Brahmins, who before are called earthly gods, they're supposed to represent God, they're supposed to represent, to see that, because it's very personal here. Maharaj Prickett is hearing this. Remember, he has 7 days left to live, so this may be, you know, the third or fourth day. And he's hearing this with such intent that he's not eating or drinking. He's not sleeping. He's listening to this, and he's a person, and he has a particular proclivity or above. and he's a ruler. And they're not only concerned with Dharma, but it is their service to uphold it. So when he's hearing that Brahmins are refusing service to Krishna and neglecting the devotees who are offering that service, Sukadeva Goswami knows that this will anger him greatly, and therefore to pacify him, he calls him Parantapo, chastiser of the enemies. So then the boys come back, and Krishna just laughs because this is begging. And Loki Kim Gatim, this is the way of the world. People have different sukritis, and according to their sukriti, according to their good consciousness, based on previous deeds that elevate the consciousness, one will take the spiritual life or not. You can't look at every person and expect to get the same result if you're a teacher or a preacher. You can't, because the best you can do is smasana vairagya. Smasana vairagya means the renunciation at the funeral. When you see the body burning, you get a fever of renunciation, and then in a couple of hours, you're eating the feast. That's it. So, it's the way of the world, that you may ask, and someone may not have that proclivity. And you can see that I teach so much and how some people take so fervently. They understand everything. The philosophy of Krishna consciousness, of course, there's always in any philosophical issue, there are always very, very subtle points that have to be reconciled. But the general, basis of foundational knowledge of Krishna consciousness, of Gaudiya Vaishnava, the Bhagavad. It's extremely solid. It's an extremely solid conception of reality and our place in it and our relationship with it and the relationship of everything in reality to the intent and purpose of it. So somehow or other, it's not just your intellect alone. It's some kind of piety, some kind of proclivity of understanding a particular path, a particular understanding. But it makes so much sense. I've seen, to people who have that faith. And I've seen it. I've seen people come and just digest it, and it just rings true. So don't expect the same result from everyone. The philosophy of Krishna consciousness is that when you represent the truth in a proper way, both by your example and precepts, those in contact with you will get some kind of sukriti. And it'll move them. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And it'll move them up to a higher level and move them up to the next step, but not everybody's at the same step. So when the boys came back disappointed that the Brahmins refused service, Krishna laughed. He started to show them the way of ordinary people. There are different levels of spiritual evolution. Even when someone comes to a temple, or, sometimes want to join a temple, or, I remember when I had the VIHE, one of the things, my objectives was in New Jersey. One of my objectives in New Jersey was allow people to have a strong dose of Krishna consciousness, when we had the Bhakti Shastri living in the ashram, to be able to assess their level of spiritual evolution so they can assess what is the proper situation for themselves to move forward in spiritual life. Anyways, it's very interesting here that when they beg and they try to give the service, Krishna's not angry. He's just saying, just laughed to show them darshyam lokikim. It's him. This is the way of the ordinary people of the world. Not be angry. Mam gyapayata patnibhya sasankarsanam agatam tasyanti kamananva snigdha mayushitadhyā. Tell the wives of the Brahmins that I have come here with Lord Sankarshan. They will certainly give you the food you want, for they are most affectionate towards me. And indeed, with their intelligence, reside in me alone. I think we did these verses, so I'm going to cover a few quickly. So he says, tell the wives of the Brahmins. They'll give the food you want, because they are most affectionate towards me. And Dina, with their intelligence, Ushitamai, with their intelligence, they reside in me. Their intelligence is fixed on me. Which means what? Their intelligence is fixed on the truth. And because their intelligence is fixed on the truth, they understand the truth. They understand that the absolute truth is meant to be served. The Krishna is telling him, this is samadhi. Their consciousness, their intelligence is in me. Buddhi tesham satati yuktanam vajutam priti purvakam tadami buddhi yogam tvam. Krishna gives people intelligence to come back to him. He says they will certainly give you the food because their intelligence is in the truth. And intelligence is in the truth is an understanding to serve the truth. So Krishna said, tell the wives of the Brahmins, they will be eager for service. Oh, I realize we did these verses now, I'm sorry. The cowherd boys then went to the house where the Brahmins were staying. The other boys saw those chaste ladies sitting, nicely decorated with fine ornaments. Bowing down to the Brahmin ladies, the boys addressed them in all humility, because they're still begging. They're not paying for it. And seeing their position, they bow down to them. And they say, Namo vo vipapatnavyo nabo dita vacham sina ito vidure charita krishne ne he shita vayam. The cowherd boy said, obeisances unto you, O wives of the learned Brahmins. Kindly hear our words. We have been sent here by Lord Krishna, who is passing by not far from here. Obeisances unto you, Namaha, without ego, because when you begged, It's a very humble position. You're putting yourself at the mercy of another. So they ask, hear our words. We have been sent by Lord Krishna. He has come a long way with the cowherd boys and Lord Balaram tending the cows. Now he is hungry, so some food should be given for him and his companions. So you remember this? This is a beautiful point last year. Why did they say that they were... Krishna told them that don't mention that I'm hungry, because Krishna was very sensitive to their needs and desires. And he, as he knew they loved him so much, he didn't want to tell them, don't tell them that I'm hungry. You can ask for food. Don't tell them I'm hungry, because this will pain you too much. This will pain me. Don't tell the wives of the Brahmins I'm hungry, because this will pain them too much. And I love that point, that understanding of this Krishna. How exalted, how wonderful Krishna is. How a spark of his splendor, the whole universe is being sustained and maintained. So... So this is the position of Krishna. But also the position of Krishna is he does not have the defect of impersonality. Therefore, he is in relationship with others. And that relationship with others is in perfect love, which means he has concern for the feelings and desires of the devotees. And he's very sensitive to that. So he says, don't tell them I'm hungry, because that may pain them. But what happens to the cowherd boys is when they tell that Krishna is nearby, then the wives of the Brahmins, who are lamenting in such deep separation. In fact, that's what attracted Krishna to give them this offering of service. Because they had so much attraction to him that it manifests to the level of separation. And as we'll see, actually, before the Krishna being a Kiladrit, he has a direct vision of people's hearts. He feels that and tries to pacify that. So you have to have the vision, even when chanting the holy name, that Krishna is listening to your chanting. But Krishna is not only listening to your chanting while you're chanting. Krishna is listening to your heart when you are yearning. So these wives of the Brahmins, their hearts were yearning. And by the transcendental system, by the super soul, by omniscience, what Krishna was hearing their hearts and trying to pacify them. And therefore, because they had this high level of attachment, when the cowherd boys came and informed that Krishna is nearby, then they faint. And they faint. They've come a long way. Now he's hungry. You should give food to him and his... And because of the wives of the Brahmins' eagerness, which had developed by their minds being enchanted by descriptions of him, Then when they heard that he was coming, they became very excited and they fainted. So when the cowherd boys just announced that Krishna was nearby, these Brahmin ladies had such advanced sentiments of love and hankering for Krishna, simply by hearing the descriptions of the residents of Vrindavan as these Brahminis would go to buy betel nuts and flowers, that they immediately fainted. So therefore the cowherd boys had to announce to them that Krishna is hungry. He had to announce that he wants some service. And then what happens is, in their half-awake state, this excitement, when they just hear that he's hungry, they try to subdue this ecstasy because it becomes an obstacle to one's service. After all, the objective of Krishna consciousness is not ecstasy, but the first pleasure of Krishna. But that consciousness of wanting to give Krishna pleasure, which is love, is the highest happiness. So the highest happiness comes when you're not trying to be happy. You're trying to make someone else happy, which is God. Because that mood is the energy of God. That mood is the energy of happiness. So a devotee, his prime thing is the service of Krishna. We described before that in Prem Bhakti, you develop these desires that you want to be with Krishna, and you want to serve with Krishna, and you want to develop a relationship with Krishna. But they're all based on love. You want to be Krishna, you want to be with Krishna to please Krishna. You want to serve Krishna to please Krishna. You want to develop a relationship with Krishna to please Krishna. So the objective is the pleasure or service of Krishna. That's the objective. And somehow or other, that consciousness is ecstasy. But when the ecstasy becomes a hindrance to the service, the devotee checks the ecstasy. Because in a loving consciousness, in a loving world, in a loving reality, it's about love. And love is not about oneself. Love is about others. That's why the present concept of love is not a true concept of love. It's infatuation. Our concept of love is when we are stimulated and we are satisfied. We're waiting to fall in love. But actually, it's just a trick. Because we're not actually wanting to fall in love. We want some ecstatic condition for ourselves. And we don't get it. And we don't get it because it's love. We don't get it because it's love. And as soon as we shift to self-centeredness, then that blocks the light of the soul, the love of the soul, the consciousness of the soul, reaching the perfection of its consciousness, which is love. So soul is for service. That's the consciousness of soul. The perfection of service is love. Taking along in large vessels, the four kinds of food, full of fine taste and aroma, all of these went forth to meet their beloved, just as rivers flow through the sea. Okay, we'll stop here. Are there any questions today? Anybody like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
I heard three voices call.
Yes, Irene is with us today.
Oh, great. Wonderful.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Bo. Thank you. Thank you. I'm here in wonderful Mayapur. I'm sure you remember how wonderful Mayapur is.
Yes, I do.
So, oh, yeah. It's so booming with so many devotees. I mean, it's a burgeoning city, and so many good people come here, because to come here, you have to have some kind of strong objective of service, you know? So the people here, they're really wonderful. So, I'm basking in their association. Anyway.
Great.
Thank you, Irene, for coming on the Sangha today with your family. Nice to hear from you. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who is this?
This is Nanda Dulal Maharaj.
Hare Bo, Nanda Dulal. Hare Krishna.
Did you get the letter, Maharaj?
The letter or the... Yeah, thank you so much.
Oh, Maharaj, and I just want to make sure that you got it.
I did. I'm sorry if I didn't respond. Let me check that. I thought I did.
Anyway,
I'll check that.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much. Yes.
Thank you.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Harini.
Who is this? Oh, Harini. Wow.
Yeah,
that's from Govardhan.
It's my birthday, Maharaj, so I just wanted to take your blessings.
Hey, happy birthday, Harini. This is great.
Thank you.
Now, I have to explain that this is the daughter, the older daughter of Govardhan Bhakta and Brajaradhe, who listen regularly. Wow. How old are you, Harini?
I'm 17.
Wow. Okay. What, you're in school now?
I'm in 11th grade.
Okay, one more year and then college. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, all my blessings from Mayapur for a prosperous birthday, spiritually,
thank
materially,
you, Maharaj.
Everything. Thank you. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Wonderful. Good. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Gail.
Gail, Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Maharaj, it took me a little while to try to formulate the question. Can I still ask it?
You can still ask it.
How do we get from wanting to be in love? You know, you were making the distinction between wanting to be in love in, like, I guess in a mundane sense, and wanting to have real love. So how do we get from wanting to be in love with Krishna for our own sake to wanting to be in love with Krishna for his sake? You always say that, you know, hearing these classes, this is the process. You know, is it the process from going from here to there?
The process of developing, what do you mean, developing love, the desire to please Krishna?
No, I mean, as opposed to, you know, that trick of mundane love, of wanting to be in love for the sake of one's own happiness, to wanting to be, to love for the sake of Krishna's happiness. You know, how to go from...
Is what? Yeah, Jiva Goswami says what happiness is happiness is wanting the happiness of another. That's what happiness is,
mm-hmm.
right? So mm-hmm. how do you go there? I mean, mm-hmm. how do you, well, obviously by hearing about Krishna and becoming attracted to Krishna, we develop the desire to want to serve Krishna. And then it ceases to become about ourselves, or the same relationship one has with Guru. and the Vaishnavas, we develop a strong desire to want to please. And it's all developing gradually our bhakti sukriti, and that's what bhakti sukriti is. It's just like when Prabhupada would come, you know, devotees would want to be with Prabhupada, which is nice, you know, but it was mixed with a desire, with their own personal desires, where advanced souls like Jayananda, you know, Prabhupada had to call him because he was someplace serving. Mm-hmm. Why? Because his objective was the pleasure of Prabhupada. It wasn't about himself anymore. And that's what love is. So, obviously, initially, you know, and, you know, it is that the soul wants to be happy. That's the nature of the soul. It does want to be happy. Ananda Maya Abhyasat. The soul wants to be happy, but what is that happiness? The happiness is love. So it may start with some personal objective. I want to be happy. I'm not happy. There's something wrong. But when you actually find out what's wrong, right, it's what's wrong is that we haven't developed love. We haven't developed a relationship with God and a desire to please God. So I guess gradually as one chants and hears and becomes attracted to Krishna, one becomes, starts to become in love with Krishna and convinced about that, then gradually it ceases to become about oneself. Your pleasure, your life is your beloved. It becomes more important than your own self. And even in terms of Dharma, right, this author Tom Wolfe, he wrote an article, The Me Generation, and he had such a, you know, he saw how modern hippie culture is becoming so hedonistic, and after that, you know, New Age culture, hedonistic. And he was saying about people, they never knew duty above self. So the whole training of spirituality and religion is, the whole training of spirituality and religion is sacrifice and compassion and love and gratitude. You know, it's all about, it's not about selfishness. It's not about self-centeredness. The only dichotomy that you see is that the soul does seek to be happy. Right? And there's nothing wrong with that. But the real happiness is love. And love begins with surrender. And love begins with sacrifice. And love begins with commitment. And all those things are bringing one away from the egotistical conception. Okay?
Yes, thank you very much, Maharaj.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Henry, Hare Bo. Yeah. Well, hope really to get over there. And now it's January, certainly by March. Hare Bo.
St. Albans is looking forward to you.
Oh, I can't. We'll definitely arrange that soon. Even we should fix those dates soon. Wonderful. Great. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, we can end now. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Pancha Kopa Tudya Sakha Pasundabhavaja Vakiram Pabhavaja.